With your help, we can continue to fight for freedom. This is not possible without your generosity. Join our quest for the truth and our freedom and donate today. Simply go to tntradio.live. Coming to you from the Better Way Conference in Bath, United Kingdom. This is today's news talk, TNT Radio. You're with Natalie Cheel and Rick Munn on today's News Talk Radio, TNT.
Okay, there's a labeling of terrorism going on here. Michigan economics professor says that boycotting stores like Target is now literal terrorism. Well, if that's called terrorism, well, then brand me an old terrorist if you like. I do believe that this is all part of the plan to tank the economy by sanctioning and boycotting stores. But let's face it, we don't even have a Target in Ireland. I don't know what it's like in England, but we can't boycott it anyway. But if somebody's...
I've not seen a Target in the UK. It's American.
I think they're an American chain. So this guy in America, this guy in America is saying that to boycott them is literal terrorism. No, you spend your money where you feel comfortable doing it, and don't let any online brigade or keyboard warriors bully you into not doing it or doing it. Make up your own mind and spend your money wherever you like. Is that not just a reasonable way to live your life?
I did actually think of another way to look at it. We disagree with cancel culture, uh-huh. Right? The idea that we want freedom of speech and you shouldn't then go cancel someone. Uh-huh. To a degree, isn't that what we're doing with companies? We're saying we don't like one thing you say, so we're trying to cancel you. So it was just another way to look at it.
We were also, the guy who was saying that is living in the most capitalist country on the planet. He likes to spread its capitalism around at the end of a bomb. But capitalism is about you have the freedom of choice to transact and spend your money with whoever you want. Yep. I wouldn't want to spend my money with Target, or if I was a drinker, spend it on Bud Light, or buy a Harley Davidson motorbike. They've gone woke. However, I believe this is part of some sort of communist, Marxist type tactic. They are devaluing products that we identify with in the West that the public then will not spend their money on. We're destroying ourselves.
Darren, you run out of companies to boycott. Mm. For example, with sports brand, Nike have already done it, Adidas have done it, next time Puma will do it, next time.
North Face.
So you run out in the end. You can keep going, well, I won't buy from them and I won't.
Taco Bell.
Taco Bell.
Demolition Man, as Natalie pointed out, the only store left you could buy your garbage from was Taco Bell.
And it's woke.
Or Chick-fil-A.
Super woke.
Chick-fil-A has went woke as well this week, and they're already starting to...
Even have a chicken burger.
Can't even have a chicken burger without a rainbow plastered across
the top. Yeah, I've got to the point now where I'm basically thinking I'm not boycotting anything because they're all literally got the same ESG scores. They're all... I'm just going to go out, spend my money, carry on going out in the economy and hoping to see it work, because in the end they're all going to be doing the same.
The only thing that doesn't subject the ESG is TNT Radio, so whatever you do out there, exactly, do not boycott us. We promise we are not woke and we won't go woke and we shall not go broke. So there's another story here that I want to have a little look at. Hundreds of Amazon employees are protesting outside their headquarters in Seattle for being forced to return back to work in person. Amazon mandated employees to return to the office for 3 days a week. They've been working remotely since the start of the pandemic. So here we have office workers or factory workers. They've been working from home in inverted commas for the last, 3 years. Now they're being told you have to come in 3 days out of five, and they're actually protesting outside the HQ. Why do you think that is? Do they realize it's completely pointless being there, or have they got used to sitting on the sofa watching Netflix, which allegedly work from homers did for the last 3 years?
They're watching Amazon.
What's the idea of them going back in? Is it productivity? Are they trying to say, or what is the idea of like to make them feel bad? I don't know.
Well, that's the question. I mean, I don't know about you guys, but I'll give you my experience of the last office job that I had. It turned my brain to mush. I was not more productive in work. It was depressing going in there. It was under artificial lights. There was no ventilation. People bitched and moaned all day long, and very little work actually got done in this office environment. Now, if it's a production line and we're building a car, it's going to become pretty apparent at the end of the day. Hey, Rick Natalie and Dee Dee haven't built anything today. We need to sort this out. So basically... Oh, good morning to you two.
Hello.
We're live on radio. What's your name?
We're live.
Say hello. We're broadcasting live. What's your name?
Linda.
Linda. And where are you from, Linda?
I'm from Grantham.
Grantham. Very good. And you're down here for the conference today, yeah?
Absolutely. I've been wanting to come, and I thought this is my treat.
Well, that's great. Well, listen, for all you lovely listeners out there, Linda has just joined us here today. She's just wandered past the room. We're broadcasting live. And that's the beautiful thing in here. We're here for the world. We're here for the world to listen to. So we are. Darren is trying to inch out of his job here and trying to give it up to a completely random person on the radio. But it's all good. But listen, you enjoy the conference anyway, and maybe we'll get talking to you again. Yeah, good.
I'm hoping to learn something.
South Africa?
Zimbabwe. Oh, there you go.
This started happening many years ago, you know, 20, 30 years ago.
Indeed.
Where the land was taken.
Yeah.
This is the beauty of live radio. A lady has just walked in from Zimbabwe. She's now schooling Darren on the South African politics, and that's what we're all about. That's what we're all about.
She said there's loads of people that are really stupid. Correct.
Yeah. No, present
stupidity is the virus.
It's the virus. But what were we talking about there before? What were we talking about?
Can you working from home.
Yes, working from home. So the like of what has just happened to me today could never have happened if I'm working from home, because now I have a dynamic job. I'm talking to different people. I'm content in my working environment. So even if I am brought into an office, Mike says, listen, we're going to get a studio in England and we want you to come in and broadcast every day. I won't have an issue with that, but I can understand why some people are fighting tooth and nail not to be dragged back into a depressing, soul-destroying office job full of people that all they do is bitch all day. What do you think, Nat?
But I think they're missing the point that if you can do your job from home, somebody else can do that job from home for our darn sight cheaper elsewhere in the world. So if you keep trying to hang on to that work from home job, you'll lose it anyway in the end.
And again, who's the winner in all this?
It's not the big businesses.
It's the big businesses, the big cheeses of these companies, because you make a good point. And I think a lot of people, it's like there was an experiment done with children where they said, if you wait for 30 minutes, you can get your favorite treat. But if you wait just 50 minutes, we'll give you another treat that you like. But you have to be patient. Most kids opted for their least favorite treat, but they could get it in half the time. And I think that's what they've been doing with people over the last few years, conditioning them to this working from home, and then say, well, we want you back. They're like, no, we want to hang on to what we have, but they don't realize they could be out of a job as well.
It's the dangling of a carrot. It's the same behavioral psychology. You know, you get, like you said, go work from home. Oh, yeah, we'll force you back in. So then they're actually begging for it. They'll get what they want. And then they'll say within a couple of weeks, oh, we've given your job to somebody else now. Mm-hmm. There we go. It's like the real irony of the situation. Mm-hmm.
Do you miss the classroom, Darren? I mean, like, I know you like to teach, but it wasn't really a teaching job as such. You were tiptoeing around wokeism and you were dealing with people. You couldn't really communicate with them the way that you wanted to. So what might have been your dream job to begin with, was it your dream job that you lost, or was it hell?
In an institution, which is the only way you can describe them now, or an asylum, as a trainee teacher, PGCE student, mm-hmm. part of my education, teaching education. That was an amazing experience. Mm-hmm. I loved it. It wasn't until I got in behind the scenes and I entered into the office properly 24/7 and saw what was going on in the school and the hours that I had to do that I realized that, you know, this was going to be an impossible endeavor for me to maintain without betraying my ethics and morals and worldview and ideology. And it was brutal. I could never go back to working mm-hmm. in an office. I've spent the last 9 months working, or longer mm-hmm. even, throughout the whole pandemic, because I taught from home as well. I could never go back into an environment where I have to work with a lot of people that I don't like, drinking coffee all day, which doesn't help when you're working with people you don't like, and having to do it. Oh, I've got to be there by 9 o'clock. You're 1 minute late, Darren. Yeah, I could never go back to that nonsense.
I'm the complete opposite. My productivity levels, I am like, got classic ADHD. So if I have 6 hours to do a job, I'm not going to get anything done for 5.5 hours and get it done in literally half an hour at hyper speed. So, but working from home for me is not a good thing.
Well, in your case, but let's take your case, Natalie. Right. You worked in not an office environment, but you worked with kids that you loved. Okay, you loved that aspect of the job. Then they brought in rules and regulations, and then I would say, well, that's the reason. I'm not putting words in your mouth here. You've told me this. Yep. That's the reason you quit, because you were being forced or to try and enforce mask mandates in kids that were holding them back, and these were kids maybe with special needs or disabilities.
for a special needs nursery, and within that time, the children regressed so much.
Yep.
They were forcing them to wear masks. They are non-verbal children who need to lip read. By wearing masks, I was the only staff member who wouldn't wear a mask. They were forcing them, children with sensory problems, forcing them to go wash their hands, screaming, pulling them to the toilets. And I can't be complicit in that. That was something that I had to have my notice in, and I would rather have no job than be a part of that.
Yeah, I was lucky to get out of the teaching game. I mean, obviously, you know, I've verbalised often about how I was cancelled because of the trans issue. I mean, no doubt that's got even worse in the schools. Mm-hmm. But I mean, almost immediately after I left the education system, they brought in, you know, the restrictions and the pandemic lockdowns and masks and all the other nonsense. And I know all the highly trained, clever scientists that I was working with in my office would have all got triple, quadruple jabbed and wore masks and the rest of it. I could have never survived in that
environment. I saw an interesting kind of argument debate on Twitter recently. There were teachers going, they'll never be able to replace teachers. And people are going, literally, they're going to be setting it up soon, particularly, maybe not primary school, but at least secondary school higher education, where your education will now be online. They've already set that up, and that's where it's going to be moving forward.
I actually saw yesterday that they've got an AI ChatGPT teacher type bot coming online. They reckon it can teach like an 18-month-year-old kid to speak English fluently in like a year and a half using this AI. And it takes, you know, kids get to 16 and leave school and still can't speak English. So, you know, who knows?
Duolingo.
We might have super intelligent babies soon because of the AI.
The other thing, the other class of worker that's been very comfortable and doing very well over the last few years working from home has been our GPs, our general practitioners, who in some places are still refusing to see people. Now, I've often said that when you go to a GP nowadays, the first thing they'll ask you is, what do you think's wrong, Darren? What do you think's wrong, Natalie? And the chances are you will have Googled your symptoms or Safari'd your symptoms or whatever browser that you use, and you will probably diagnose yourself. The GP will confirm it, and then they will refer you to a real doctor in a hospital. I would say GP's jobs are very tenuous at the minute because, let's face it, a good AI program or a good drop-down menu when you go into the hospital. Do you have a sore head? Yes. Do you take any medication? No. What do you take? Just type in your symptoms and there you go.
You know, have you phoned for when you've got an emergency and you don't qualify for an ambulance, but you've got to speak to, is it NHS 101 or whatever? I can't remember what it is, but that's basically already what they do. There's somebody on the phone who isn't medically trained,
the
just goes through
What's wrong with you? Are you a doctor? No, I'm a receptionist. Then why are you asking me what's wrong with me?
But it's like a set of questions. But at the end of it, they basically tell you, oh, computer says this is where we now head.
It's like what they're trying to do now with these fighter jet F-16 wannabe pilots in Ukraine. They're saying, we're going to train you up and you're going to go out and fight Putin. Listen, they're literally... It's not
bombs.
Like a go-kart. You know when you go to a go-kart track, they give you a crash helmet and a set of overalls and they say, this pedal on the left makes you go quicker and this pedal on the right stops you. It's not like that with an F-16, and you're not racing your mates around a track with tires at the side. They're talking about dogfighting the MiGs or whatever the Russians are currently flying at the minute. I think what you're seeing is a dumbing down of what would have been in the past highly qualified and respected professions, like a good lawyer or barrister, a good teacher was hard to find, a good GP. All of a sudden they'll be rendered obsolete by AI programming or half-assed training. And I think that's what we've become used to over the last 3 years. That's what we've become used to. Yeah. So what do you think about that, Natalie?
I got distracted by the taking of the photo.
It's extremely,
I've lost track.
Let me tell you this, folks. This is a baptism of fire here. I'm used to sitting in my little room with the door closed. I don't even let my cat into my room when I'm broadcasting. And literally, there must be about 400 people walking around outside. There's people jumping around, taking photos, coming in and waving. And it's all good. I'm not complaining, but I'm just saying it's a little bit hard to adjust to. So my little colleagues here are distracted.
Sensory overload.
Oh, as soon as I see a camera, I'm like that.
Yeah, Darren's just that. It's all about him today, but it's all good. It's all good. So we've got to take a break. I think we should take a little break now. And when we come back, plenty more to cover here on the show on TNT Radio. So please don't go away.
TNT Radio's David McBride and Dr. Robert Brennan.
You went in there fresh-faced, ready to make a difference in these child's lives. Now, of course, they're not there as coming from well-adjusted backgrounds of having been parented well, having been treated well, etc., etc., etc. These kids are coming in there with often train wrecks of histories. How soon did you see what was at play there, and give us some examples?
Within a month or so, I think I started to come to the realization that something was really, really wrong, and that was because I started receiving numerous disclosures from the detainees, the children in our care, about abuse of varying kinds, emotional, physical and sexual abuse occurring. I suppose that took me down a path of learning to what extent that is and has been, and indeed the extent of the cover-up of that offending and that abuse that has been going on, from my understanding now, for decades.
McBride and Brennan, with David McBride and Dr. Robert Brennan on TNT Radio.
Email from school about the incident today.
Scary.
Tell me about it. Did you have any idea that was going on?
None. I mean, you saw Derek at the game last night, too. Did you have a clue?
No, but you know, teachers like me, parents, we don't always know as much as you guys do. Kids hear first about what's going on with other kids.
Half the time, it's rumors.
It can be hard to tell sometimes, but if you have a concern about a friend who's having trouble with alcohol, prescription drugs, bullying, violence, anything, you need to tell an adult. Mom or me, a teacher, coach, school counselor, someone you know and trust.
Dad, no kid is gonna tell an adult about that kind of stuff.
I get it, but if we don't know, we can't help. Speaking up about a problem, that's what helping a friend is all about.
For more information, visit underagedrinking.samhsa.gov.
TNT Radio is taking a stand for freedom. Coming to you from the Better Way Conference in Bath, United Kingdom. This is today's news talk, TNT Radio.
Okay, we're coming at you live from the Better Way Conference in Bath. I hope you're enjoying the show. We're getting a lot of people walking by asking, are we broadcasting live? The answer to that is yes, but we're welcoming people in to take a seat or even hop on the mic if they like, because we like to try and include people wherever we can here on TNT Radio. Covered a lot of ground. We're actually nearly up to the end of the show. We've only got about 40 minutes to go yet here. I wanted to highlight something as a contrast between England and Scotland. Sadiq Khan, who's not exactly a popular chap over in London, the Mayor of London, the Lord Mayor of London, he has introduced what are called ULE zones, or ultra-low emission zones, within London. So people will have to pay a fee every day to drive their cars in London. That's fine if you have the 12.50 or whatever it is a day to do that. In Scotland, however, in Glasgow, a new scheme has been launched that if you don't have the right car, you'll be fined 60 quid a day, not 12.50 a week or whatever it happens to be, 60 quid a day, doubling to 120, doubling to 240, and ultimately putting you out of business if you haven't got the money to change your car. Who will that impact most? The people that can't afford to change their cars. They're the ones going to be penalized for this. And food banks that have vans delivering to the poor are also not exempt from this, by the way. They have to upgrade their vans or else they can't do their food deliveries.
It's going to be directly affecting the poor, because the cars with the least low emissions are going to be older, cheaper cars.
Correct.
So then they can't afford to replace them. That's what they're trying to do, right?
Correct.
Try and take the whole secondhand car market out of existence almost. So
this goes, in my opinion, beyond penalizing people that don't have eco-friendly cars. This is actually hammering people that can't afford to replace those eco-friendly cars and then drive them in the city centre. They're being banned altogether.
And can't afford not to have those environmentally unfriendly cars, because they need them to get to their work, to pay the rent that's due at the end of the month. So it's a double hammering of the poorest, the least economically able people in our society, in a part of the country, Glasgow, which may well be one of them. You know, the poorest in Glasgow will be some of the poorest in the UK, maybe even in Europe. So they are getting hit in the hardest by this.
When I got to Bath yesterday, I don't see it in Reading. The first sign I said, you're entering a clean air zone, or you need to go and have a look at whether to pay. But luckily, my car, I've only got a little Hyundai i10, But it was, I didn't have to pay because mine was low emissions enough. But, you know, because it was only 5 years old. But if it had been an older car, I'd have had to be paying yesterday to go into Bath.
Rick was boasting about his low emission car yesterday and how much tax he wasn't paying.
Well, here's the thing. Actually, my old car was knackered. I mean, like, it was 16-year-old. It was an absolute eco-disaster. It was an old knackered diesel engine. It was costing me 20 quid a month to tax that thing to put it in the road. The new car, although when I say it's new, it's a good few years old, but it's more eco-friendly than the 16-year-old one that I had. It's 20 quid a year. So it might fall in, but again, it's based on date of manufacture. So even if I do have a low emission car, Darren, unless it's been made before September 2015, I'm going to get hammered either way. So they're coming at me one way, the other way, or in somewhere in the middle.
I'll bet that whole system in Glasgow, probably the same as you, Les, is working off number plates.
Correct.
So it's just looking at the date on the number plate. They're using number plate recognition systems.
Correct.
You go past the camera, boom, your car's one day too old. It might be the most environmentally friendly car on the planet, but no, the date, that's it. You get hit with the fine, the charge, whatever. And in the future, that will just be taken directly out of your bank account without any interaction or acceptance or agreeance from yourself.
And I just wonder what will actually happen, because it's going to get to a point. I'm getting friends at the moment, their cars are going wrong, the secondhand cars. They can't afford to replace them. And after a while, how much across the board are people not actually going to be able to get to work? What are people actually going to do? But what if you can't? What if
exactly.
you're a builder, you can't be working from home.
If you're slipping through that net, you're screwed. And I'll tell you this, the things that you're seeing now in Oxford and various other places in London as well. Last year, there's a chap I've had on the show and Locked and Loaded for over a year, Roger Tattersall. He's a diamond. Me and him had started to cover this last May. And we said in June 2023, they're going to introduce this in Glasgow on the 1st of June. And they're going to roll it out in Dundee, I believe, Aberdeen and Edinburgh in 1 year from now. Now, people will be saying, oh, it's not going to happen. There'll be resistance. We said that last year. And there was no resistance, and it's now currently in place in Glasgow. Birmingham, they resisted payment of fines en masse. 50-odd thousand people didn't pay their fees, and Birmingham City Council admitted, we don't have the manpower or the ability to chase that. So the secret is this. If you're going to... non-compliance, but it has to be mass non-compliance. Yeah. I had another guest on last week who tried to, I'm not going to pay. He said, I was on my own. So they harassed me, and they kept adding court fees on, and my 20 quid fine became 350 to 400 quid. And he said, I'm busted, but no one else was doing it, so it has to be mass non-compliance.
The other way to do it is, as we've seen in some places in Oxford, is to destroy the cameras.
We don't support violence in any way here.
Of course, there are
non-violent ways of disabling the cameras and all the other obstacles and ballards.
Silly string.
Yeah.
Tesco bag for life.
Katie Hopkins said about the foam mars that you can go and buy for $6.99.
Yeah, and apparently Screwfix DIY, their two most popular items that they're selling at the minute are telescopic ladders and bolt cutters. Okay, so a lot of people are going to Screwfix and M&Q. And I said, where's everybody buying telescopic ladders, and why are all these cameras being chopped down at the top of the mast? People have had enough. And listen, I do think it's getting to the point now with everything else that's going on and everything that has been going on, people are like, to hell with it. I don't care if I'm vandalizing. I don't care if it's right or wrong in the eyes of the law. I am having this no more. Think about old Michael Douglas and falling down. Dude sitting in his car, having a terrible time of it, and he just snaps one day. And you see, the thing is, see, when you snap, you might as well just go the whole hog.
Cut them all down.
When I first watched that movie, I didn't quite understand it. Now I have a lot more in common with him falling down.
And there will be many, many people sat in traffic jams right now who are having that Michael Douglas moment where he wants to go and get a cheeseburger, but they won't serve it because it's breakfast.
Or if your train gets cancelled on the way down to Plymouth today, Daz will be sitting in the station going, to hell, I've had enough of this. I've had enough. I'm going to take this little penknife and I'm going to saw someone's leg off. But of course, we don't advocate.
I hate queues and I hate sitting in traffic. They're the two things that aggravate me the most.
Well, listen, we all have our triggers, and that's the thing. Even the most law-abiding, straight down the middle types at the minute, I think, are reaching the end of their tether. So, in this case, Glasgow, it will be interesting. If there is no kickback, they will roll it out within 12 months in Edinburgh, Dundee, and there's somebody walking past there. I actually helped her with her cases on the bus the other night, so I didn't realize she was going to go to the conference. Anyway, sorry, I'm talking out loud here. It's very strange, but it's all good. What else are we going to look at here? Dublin. Okay, let's hop across to Dublin. In fact, no, we're due to take an ad break right now or a news break. We'll do it now. And when we come back, we'll look at a rude awakening that might be coming to the upper classes in Dublin suburbs. So please don't go away.
I have some even more exciting news.
TNT Radio News.
Matt Boylan here with your TNT headlines. Australia's most decorated living soldier has been exposed in court as a murderer and a liar after losing an historic defamation case brought against three of the nation's leading newspapers that had accused him of war crimes. The Pentagon has announced it'll cough up the cash that Ukraine needs to cover the cost of Elon Musk's satellite internet services, and it's been revealed the environmental impact from beef that's grown in labs trumps the carbon footprint of traditionally raised meat.
We didn't come down the last shower, but we are coming to you from Bath in the UK. Live from the Better Way Conference 2023. This is today's News Talk Radio, TNT.
Okay, we're nearly there, folks. It's 11:30 p.m. here in the UK in sunny Bath. Beautiful city, by the way. I've never been to Bath before, and I was glad to be invited over here to meet the guys and the girls from TNT Radio. And I would like to come back, if possible. It's supposed to be one of the most beautiful places in England, apparently. And I can say I had a lovely day here yesterday, a very chilled out day. And as soon as I'm finished here today, I'm hopping in a taxi and hopefully heading straight home. But before we go,
this is Anti-Lockdown Alliance. When Michael Douglas meets Just Stop Oil, that would be a good film.
Yeah. Well, do more than drag them out of the streets.
Well, you see, the thing is, you can start to see these drivers and these commuters starting to go Michael Douglas and these protesters because they've just had enough. They just want to go to work. They want to get to the hospital. They don't want to miss an appointment. They're picking their kids up from school. And these numpties who are being enabled by the police are blocking up the roads
and
paid for by the establishment are doing nothing about it. Yeah. Speaking of the establishment and speaking about rude awakenings, okay, the old hot potato, the old immigration topic, no one likes to talk about it, especially if you're rich and you're in a leafy suburb somewhere. It's the problem for someone else has. They're not coming to our neighborhood. We have nothing to worry about. Well, in Dublin, let me say this, a chap called Philip Dwyer, who's a very savvy citizen journalist, has been walking around a leafy Dublin suburb called Ranelagh to get a direct provision center footage for 66 unknown immigrants coming into two beautiful three-story Georgian properties that have been redone, revamped, brought up to speed to put 66 men in there. None of the residents would come on camera to voice their opinions, but all off camera said, this is terrible, this is horrific, we don't want this coming here. Darren, Natalie, until this point, the rich, the leafy suburbs, the upper classes seem to have dodged the old refugee center bullet, but is it coming to their neighborhood, whether they like it or not, yes or no?
Well, it eventually will, but they're not going to see it. It's going to start in the kind of inner cities. It's going to start in, you know, areas that have got more poverty. But when it catches up with them, it will be too late, essentially, by the time it gets to the leafy suburbs, right?
Not enough hotel rooms. Well, not enough properties. Eventually, you're going to use up all the free space in the poorest areas where you can just dump these people willy-nilly without any real consequences other than the pushback from the plebs. But eventually, it's going to spread out from the city centres, from the hotels,
into
from the
burbs.
And it'll move out into the richer, leafier suburbs.
Gary Lineker syndrome, isn't it? It's very easy for virtue signalling for Gary Lineker to sit in his very big house and to say, let's bring as many immigrants in as possible. Because in reality, how is that ever going to affect Gary Lineker's life? It's not. And this is why so many of the kind of upper type middle class don't see it affecting them. And it's much easier for them to virtue signal and say, oh, it's no problem, because they don't see it affecting their community. And like I said, by the time it does, what will they change their mind then? Will the virtue signaling stop?
Well, obviously the people at the very top of the economic food chain, the multimillionaires that are sitting in their own grounds with their own detached houses, they ain't going to have any... Someone's just took a nosedive out there. Yeah, it's all happening here this morning. But hope she's all right. Shouldn't laugh, but I kind of laugh when people trip over and fall.
Rick's laughing at someone falling over.
Yeah, and it's not Joe Biden, by the way. And elder abuse, yeah. But what was I saying? Yeah, the very, very rich and famous aren't going to be affected by this. But this is happening right now in a very rich suburb of Dublin. And here's the thing, Natalie. Ireland, per capita, we don't have, there's only, 4 to 5 million people living in Ireland. Only 4 to 5 million. And they're talking about bringing in 100 to 200,000 people per year, year on year. And at the minute, 80% of tourist accommodation is taken up by refugee asylum seekers. So they are running out of space. They're now buying nursing homes. They're repurposing army barracks. And where are they going after all those options are being exhausted? Properties in the rich areas. And again, the landlords are being given serious coin, and they're like, I don't give a damn if the neighbors don't like about it, I'm getting my dough.
Rich people are normally happy to take someone to court because a building is blocking their sunlight. Mm-hmm. So imagine, you know, if a whole community turns off on their doorstep, you know, we're in reality.
But then maybe they're afraid of being branded racists and then right-wing extremists. Oh, like the working class have been. They're happy to call the working class right-wing extremists because they don't want them in East Wall or Balbriggan or somewhere in Dublin. But when it's their neighborhood, maybe that will actually go against them, because they're like, well, we can't come out and say that they're
I think they will, and I think then when the rich
community or elitist class starts objecting to the policies of, say, a conservative government in particular, or even the Labour, because the socialists are just champagne socialists now, then they may reconsider some of their policies on immigration.
But by the time they're in there,
it's too late.
I mean, that house has been bought. That house has been refurbished. The house, 66 men. So even if they do take it to court, what's that old saying? It's easier to ask for forgiveness than it is. Maybe they'll just stick them in the first place, and then they'll say, okay, Natalie, you don't like it, take us to court. Okay, we'll take you to court. Could last for years. Yeah. You pay the legal fees. You might lose at the end of the day. They could change the laws to accommodate it. All I'm trying to say here is, listening in, if there's any rich people listening in from the suburbs out there, we don't despise you. You're just as welcome to listen as anyone else, but don't think you're going to dodge this bullet either, because it could be coming to a suburb near you. Nobody escapes this.
These people have just been useless idiots, and it's the useless idiots who normally get it first. That's what's happened in previous communist takeovers, and we're seeing elements of that happening in the West right now. It's a communist takeover, and the flooding of our cultures and societies with immigrants is part of that demoralization process, just like making Bud Light woke, part of the demoralization process. Speaking out about it, like Rick said, it's a bit too late now because it's happened.
Yeah, it's too late. What is it? To close the stable door when the horse is bolted. But listen, we're going to see what happens with this one. The beautiful thing is, time tells everything, and whether or not we're right or wrong on these issues, time will ultimately tell. Now, here's another off-the-cuff story here, but it has relevance. I'm looking at footage here of a line of people, like a conga line. These are people waiting to summit Mount Everest, okay? So used to be climbing Everest was something that very few people got to do.
Yeah.
It was either fabulously expensive or physically difficult. You weren't able to do it. But here we have literally thousands of people in a conga line waiting to summit Mount Everest. Now, what's the big deal, you might be thinking?
Have you seen the top of it?
Yeah, well, there's an area before the top of Everest. There's an area before the top of Everest called the Death Zone. Okay, and if you've ever seen any mountaineer footage, you almost get hypnotized. People make it their life's ambition to summit Everest, even if they're prepared to lose their lives for it. And as Darren has rightly pointed out, the top of it now looks like some nasty...
Humans have been there.
Yeah, humans have been there. It's filthy. There's
and all the feces and everything is left behind.
It's literally, it's like, how would you say...
It's a rubbish tip.
You go up there wanting to take your selfies at the top of Everest.
You've got standing in other people's
You're standing in feces. There's tents everywhere. There could even be could even be dead bodies around there. So what I'm trying to say to you is, what is the big attraction now with people going to Everest to do it? Is it not for the clicks? Is it not to say, hey, dinner party, I know what I'm going to drop on them. Darren's been to the Bahamas. Natalie's got a new car, but hey, I've scaled Mount Everest. How's about that one? The problem is, it's completely demeaned now because everybody's bloody.
And not just that. When I see that giant queue, I wouldn't feel so special of the achievement when I look around, there's a thousand people, and the bloke behind you is tapping you on the shoulder, going, "Go on, you're taking your picture, bugger off. I want to take your place." Mm-hmm. And then you go, "Well, I've got to go all the way back down. What, just for that?" Yeah. When actually it was just an elite, special, one-off achievement that was only ever completed on very rare occasions, and now you could do it twice or three times a day if you really, really wanted to. Yeah, just to show off.
Are you planning on summiting Everest next year, Nally? Has this inspired you maybe to put on your hiking boots and your oxygen mask and Harris Sherpa and head up there yourself?
I struggle enough just walking around the neighborhood with my dodgy feet. Everest is not the question.
We struggled up that hill in Bath yesterday, and that was without a Sherpa and without hiking poles and without oxygen. I wouldn't want to try Everest, Dee. What about you? You're a Moors man. Do you fancy Everest next year as a day out?
Everest isn't actually on my list, on my bucket list of things to do. There are far more interesting places that I'd like to go and see. But unfortunately, wherever you go, wherever place I want to see, like the pyramids or the megalithic structures of South America, guess what's happened to it? People have been there and they've turned them all into poo holes. I'm trying not to swear here on the radio. So, no, I don't want to do Everest. Sounds like hard work anyway.
Hard work, man.
I'm not a big fan of the big tourist attractions when they put so much like human bits around them, don't they? They almost take it, the attraction away. When I went to the Lake District, what was so beautiful was just walking around in nature, seeing things as they should be, not like, you know, boarded off. You can walk here or you can't walk here, all of that stuff. You know, maybe they started doing that in Everest as well.
There's a mountain in Africa, I'm sure you've heard of, called Kilimanjaro. K2, right? No, K2's in the...
Oh, right. I always get mixed up.
But anyway, Kilimanjaro, highest mountain in Africa. It's in Tanzania in a place called Moshi, okay, which is Swahili for smoke. But anyway, I've drove past it a few times and somebody that was on a bus with me said to me, "Do you want to climb Mount Kilimanjaro?" And I'm like, "Why?" To say, "Well, you know, it's a tourist attraction and there's Maasai people there and, you know, you can experience Africa." I said, "Listen, I've been experiencing Africa." And they took me anyway to this, says, "Go and see what you think." And there was a Maasai camp that you could pay to stay with the Maasai people. And I stayed with Maasai people deep in the bush, and they do not let anybody into their camp. So I went up to the dude, the Moran, the warrior guy.
Not real Maasai?
No, they were real Maasai, but they had set up a fake Maasai camp for the tourists to give them the experience, to let them take the photographs, to say, "Hey, look at me. I stayed with the Maasai and hunted in the Serengeti and climbed Mount Kilimanjaro." It's all just a nasty, nasty tourist trap.
Gimmick.
But that video in particular is a case in point. And I think, were it not for social media, were it not for the fact that you could post yourself summiting that or summiting Kilimanjaro or in the Serengeti, none of this would be taking off.
Is it not, again, going back to just following the herd? You know, somebody else, one person's do it, I want to do it. I remember when I went to France and to all the museums, and you go to see the Mona Lisa, and I just walked past it. I wasn't interested. You've literally got a queue. It goes back so many people, and I couldn't even see the fascination. Like, again, like it's like that following the herd. I just walked straight past it and went somewhere else. But other people, they need to say they've done it, don't they? That kind of almost... Yeah, the need to be there, staying there, done it. Yeah, it's not for me, I'm afraid. I'd rather walk away.
What have you got there? Dee Dee's got the phone open.
I'm getting a picture of Everest because there we go. That's the sort of dump I'm just showing Natalie. She breathed in sharply.
Yeah. It looks like the Reading Festival after the third
worse
day.
Worse than the Reading Festival.
Worse. Disgusting.
Worse. And there's little chance of dying with oxygen deprivation.
I would rather go walk along on the moors or down the canal here in Bath.
Bath?
It was peaceful. It was green. The air seemed quite clean. There was a few people jotting around, but they were all happy and smiling. And there were no discarded tents or bags of poo lying around. So, nice.
Well, on that beautiful, uplifting and appetizing note, I think we're going to take a little break now. And when we come back, I want to look at this whole business. Yeah, we've got Dee Dee's bouncing here. There's something that he really wants to get it said. So I'm going to put a disclaimer on it. It's not my thing, but yeah, Dee Dee loves this stuff. So don't go away. We'll be right back after this short break in TNT Radio.
De-weaponizing weather with reality and perspective.
I have an interesting blog on CFACT, in case anyone wants to Google that. Says disrespect of the weather, a major driver of the climate agenda. I think one of the big problems of the climate change agenda, and I think it's part of everything we're seeing today, is a disrespect of the past. Somehow we've all gotten the bright idea that whatever came before us was much less challenging than what we're facing today. I'm reading from the blog. And so the link is, let's just tear it down or ignore it, or better still, don't even look at what happened in the past and elevate what's going on today. Trash the past and cancel it. This is an exercise in arrogance, ignorance, and narcissism. How so? Well, what makes you think that given what was going on before, you would have had the right answer? I don't care what it is. It's easy to judge based on what you know now, or in a lot of cases, we're seeing what you don't know. For instance, the kind of storms hit the United States in the 30s, 40s, and 50s, if that was happening today, we'd have people thinking some kind of atmospheric apocalypse is coming. As it is, they've successfully portrayed it as that now, when in reality, if you know what happened, you were bored a lot, looking for trouble, figuring it has to come back. So what's the moral of this story over here? If you don't know the past, you tend to elevate yourself now. You become more important. You see, folks, all of us, in my opinion, were born with a desire to be something bigger, to reach beyond our grasp. And when someone tells you you can't do that, unless you have everybody working together, guess what starts to happen? The individual gets less and less respect, and individual events are disrespected. Just my opinion. Here's a fact, though. You should enjoy the weather. It's the only weather you got. This is TNT Climate and Weather Watchdog meteorologist Joe Bastardi.
Yeah, hello?
Hey, Stu, it's Andy. What's going on?
Oh, hi, mate. I'm just down the pub playing the pokies.
Oh, yeah? Cool. Hey, look, listen, don't forget Saturday, all right? We're all going to meet up at... And then after that, we're going to kick on it off. Hey, you should come Sunday as well. We're going to get a bite to eat for Kelly's birthday down at the... So you in or what?
Blow all your money and you won't be going anywhere. Is gambling getting in the way of your social life? Authorised by the Victorian Government, Melbourne.
From beautiful Bath in the UK, we're live at the Better Way Conference 2023. This is today's news talk, TNT Radio.
Okay, we're gonna punt this one across to the Janner. He's got something he wants to get off his chest. Darren, what's burning a hole in that heart of yours?
Oh, morning? I've been screaming his name for the last 2 hours. Joe Biden, Joe Biden. And I'm sure many of you who are listening now, informed TNT listeners, saw the video on social media yesterday of poor old, and I will say, not, you know, poor old Joe Biden falling over. He had quite a hard fall. At the same time, his son has there's a whole load of new videos and pictures of his debauched crackhead pedophile son. Those videos are now and images are all out in the media sphere, in the Twitter sphere, and my point is not, you know, oh, poor old Joe Biden, but it's a metaphor, it's an analogy of the failed US as a country, as an economy, as a culture, and it's been crystallized, maybe even deliberately so, in Joe Dementia Joe, this decrepit, debauched old man, a failed old man of a failed family behind him, who has been pushed by his own relatives and the establishment, which is in itself elder abuse. You know, where are the rainbow people when it comes to Joe Biden?
What scares me, though, in any other job, right, most of the time, an 82-year-old or however old he is would not be able to do most jobs. So when you think of the power and position he's in, how isn't that not crazy anyway? Even if he wasn't going senile, is an 82-year-old really capable of doing that type of job and a position?
He isn't doing anything.
He's not. But rightly pointed out, what is he doing? He is effectively acting as a figurehead of humiliation for the United States of America. And they are rapidly losing their position as the world's dominant superpower. The dollar is in terminal decline. Yeah. They're going to move off the petrodollar currency. The BRICS alliance is expanding. Uh-huh. People are rubbing their hands together. And I've used this analogy once before. If you think about a pride of lands, there's always one lion is the governor, the chief. But eventually he gets old and his teeth start to fall out. Yeah. And there's a younger lion coming up through that challenges him, or a group of younger lions. And eventually that old tosser is disposed of and has to go out and dies a death. And he's replaced. I think that's the position America's in at the minute. And elder abuse was brought up there too. I think it's a reflection on Joe Biden's family, first and foremost, that they would allow their husband, father, whatever he is, uncle, whatever, grandfather, to be humiliated like this nothing about it.
But if you're at the same point, if he is being that bad to them and all the stuff he's done to them over the years, maybe you wouldn't mind if somebody's been that awful to you as a family member, watching and sitting back, watching that. We're not talking about a nice person and a nice parent over the years, are we? We're talking about a serial abuser.
Yeah, a serial abuser. And, you know, Rick brought up BRICS. Yeah, no, we're not here saying BRICS is great. Oh, we're encouraging the BRICS, the formation of BRICS, all the countries joining together to BRICS, because that may well all be part of some overall plan as the replacement to the USA, who are quite clearly failing. And that's symbolic in Joe Biden and him continually falling over. And I'm sure Russia and China are absolutely shaking in their pants at the thought of a potential conflict with the USA when they see Joe Biden as their leader. And we talked about masks, and I'll chuck this over to you. We talked about masks yesterday. Is it really Joe Biden? It doesn't matter. Whoever that person is has been selected to fall over, to have this paedophile son, to be the symbol of the failing of the USA.
As you were talking about Hunter Biden and all the photos and videos that have come out in the last couple of days, something occurred to me that we know he is a bad person and done these things, but remember what we said yesterday about AI? We don't actually know if they're true.
Or he could just turn around and say, it's not real. These were all generated. Somebody hacked my computer and ran an AI program through it. They've just got the tech right. But here's the bottom line. Time tells everything. And irrespective of who's sitting in the White House, we know that they're not the decision makers for the US. Now, touching on BRICS, there's another story that I highlighted. Maybe we can run off with this one. But Putin is due in South Africa any day now for a BRICS meeting, which is Brazil, Russia, India, China, and South Africa. Okay, that's the BRICS nations. So Putin is going to South Africa. There has been an arrest warrant issued for him by the international courts. South Africa are expected, Ramaphosa, the president of Cyril Ramaphosa of South Africa, is expected to arrest Vladimir Putin when he gets off the plane.
Go on then.
Let's see.
Let's
see what the Spetsnaz Special Protection Unit does when you try and put the cuffs on old Vlad. And by the way, Vlad can handle himself. Vlad's a martial artist. He's tough as a budger's arse. So I wouldn't fancy arresting him myself, even though he's old. He could kick your ass, let alone what his own people could do. And then probably a phone call would be made, or a button would be pressed on the old rugby ball, and there could be a couple of hypersonics heading towards Cape Town before you can say, release him and let him go. So there's a push going on now in South Africa, and the opposition party are trying to take the government to court to get them to arrest Putin when he comes to the country. Now, they've said, listen to this, this is brilliant. They've said, we're giving him international protection, immunity as a diplomat. And they're saying, you can't do it. And they said, but we're doing it for the conference, not for Vladimir Putin. He just happens to be at the conference. So there's all this legal wrangling going on now. Like, can you see Putin arriving in Cape Town and a group of South African cops trying to arrest him as he comes off the plane? What a load of absolute bunkum is this?
I can imagine it being like a comedy scene if it was. You know, like we saw those policemen in London with the bellies like South African policemen running up to him and it all becoming like a complete joke. No, I don't. And it wouldn't be allowed anyway. We know, you know, with the security details they've got, it's just not even a possibility of it happening.
Although, having said that, you're right, it's ludicrous. I wouldn't put it past the clowns running this insane asylum to say, I don't care, you try and arrest him anyway. Some local hick cop might be told, listen, you and your buddies, what are you doing on Saturday morning? We've got the day off. It's like, well, we want you to go to the airport, and when Putin comes off the plane, we want you to rush him with a set of handcuffs.
Yeah, money.
It's not going to happen. It's not. But they're pushing it, and they're pushing it, and they're trying to stoke up this division. And now Ramaphosa, who's the president of South Africa, he's been neutral and said, we want peace. We want to see an end to hostilities. And they're saying, now that makes you pro-Russian. You should be backing NATO, because if you're not backing them, that makes you by default pro-Russian. We're not pro-Russian. We want peace. All war's bad. Absolutely. Everybody's dying. We want diplomacy and we want peace. That doesn't make us pro-Russian, does it? I'm not a Putin fanboy.
I mean, I can't remember a time when being anti-war was as bad and as dangerous to your to your person as it is now. And being anti-war just makes us, like you said, pro-Putin, Putin propagandists. Ramaphosa and African countries are going to get labeled the same way. There's no way they're going to arrest him. And I thought diplomatic immunity was a thing regardless, and that you couldn't just arrest a foreign politician.
I just want peace and standing up for innocent people. Unfortunately, all of these wars and all the different countries in the war, it's the innocent people that suffer, and these rich politicians or you know, the people funding it, they're the ones, just like we said before, on a board, kind of playing with innocent people's lives. Mm-hmm. And that's what we want, the nice and normal people just be able to get on with their lives. And unfortunately, this game of war takes over in too many places.
Just speaking of falls here as well, I don't know if you've seen the footage this week, Bruce Springsteen, who's a
He fell over as well.
Oh, he went in his arse as well. And it was, but I, to be fair, I'm not a fan of his.
Is he older than Biden?
Well, no, he's not older than Biden.
Is this a vaccine side effect now, falling over?
Well, the thing is, he did take a stumble.
Suddenly fell over.
But he for his age, right? For his age, he's still in good shape. He still does 3-hour concerts and tours with his band. But when he went on his ass, he had his guitar with him, looking very rock star with his leather sleeveless shirt, flexing his biceps. And then as he was walking up the stairs, he face planted into the stage and twisted and went on his arse. Now, the thing was, he couldn't actually stand up because he had his guitar strapped to him. So he was rocking backwards and forwards until the band came and helped him up. And then, of course, he put his fist up. But I'm thinking, these people that are destroying the world symbolically, they're starting to fall over now. Maybe I'm reading too much into it now, but Springsteen has been pushing this agenda from day one, doing podcasts with Barack Obama or Barry Soweto. There's a guy called Dom Lucra. He's got a fantastic Twitter page. Check out the post he put up yesterday exposing the origins of Barack Obama, a.k.a. Barry. He hasn't done Michael. Big Mike's coming next. But check that out. The origins of Barack Obama, a.k.a. Barry Soweto. So check that one out. We're nearly up to time. Is there anything you guys want to throw at us here? Or Natalie, what have you seen over the last few days that has particularly stimulated you, even since you've been in Bath?
I'm trying to think because woke up this morning and tried to actually find a story and I couldn't.
No, not a story, not a story. Like, just personal experience. Personal experience. I mean, you've been in Bath since yesterday. What have you seen or experienced that's give you a lift? Let's give you a lift.
The beauty of human connection, of smiling, of it, like even sitting here as we're doing the show and seeing people go past and give us a wave and a smile. And that's what was taken away for the last 3 years. We're almost taking it for granted again. Now and you know, forgetting that so many people were locked in their homes, and we can say hello, and people are out there to touch.
Yeah, and to steal, because yesterday we saw a shoplifter apprehended. It was quite amazing because it also does it not also show your perception, your initial reactions. Natalie and I were sitting observing life, and this kid walked by with a skateboard in one hand and a football in the other. This big guy came up behind him and tapped him in the shoulder. Kid turned around and he took the ball off him and he said, "Thanks very much." And I thought, is he stealing that kid's ball? And then I noticed he had a Sports Direct shirt on. The kid had shoplifted the football. The guy had run up the street after him and very politely removed it from his hand. Does that not show you about as well how you can jump to conclusions? And we misread the situation, but then we went,
But it also, it was like a lovely thing to watch because he did it so well. We see so many, we also saw another event with a bouncer antagonizing a drunk person.
He was out for
and
blood.
This was the opposite. Mm-hmm. You know, we saw, you know, okay, this guy had stolen it, but how the person from Sports Direct,
so
it
polite.
Gave me, yeah, it made me like feel inhumanity, like there is some humanity left in me.
Did it not also highlight to you though, Natalie, that love and kindness can diffuse a situation quicker than antagonism and violence? Because we also saw a bouncer, by the way, after we saw this kid having the ball that he stole retrieved by the Sports Direct guy, we saw a drunken guy being violently thrown out of a pub by a bouncer that I can only say had a bloodlust. You just knew he was looking for trouble. He was provoking this drunk guy, and all he wanted to do was knock the pelt out of him and say that this was justifiable. He was a beleaguering drunk. He handled it horribly, and we were actually looking on in disgust, whereas we were quite impressed, I think, with a sports direct guy. So maybe a little shout out.
That could have started it. The sports direct man could have been a fight in the same way, and he handled it in exactly the right way. And it's just an example of how we should always try to be respectful and kind. You know, and if we go around all the situations like that, they're much more likely to come out in a positive manner. You know, don't be overreacting.
Don't start off up here. If you need to escalate, you escalate, but don't start off going in gun for leather. Darren, we've only got a couple of minutes left. Your takeaway, you've only been here since last night. It's been a short time. What has been a takeaway from you from being here in this environment, doing what you're doing now, positives, negatives? What have your feelings been?
Yeah, I mean, first of all, you know, as I've already said, it was lovely to be in Bath, to see so many young people out enjoying themselves, smiling in the sun. It seemed very normal and very happy. Here in the conference right now, there are loads of people milling around. They will all be maybe not on the same page, but definitely in the same book as us here at TNT and those that are listening. And you can feel quite relaxed, and you can feel that everybody's in the same worldview. Oh, Natalie's going to jump in.
And don't forget about meeting
Little Carol's here.
We all got to meet Little Carol.
Munching on a biscuit as we're broadcasting live. Say goodbye to the good people of TNT.
Goodbye,
We've only got 30 seconds.
Goodbye, people. I've had a lovely time here today. Met everybody. Told him my point of view. It's been fabulous.
Thank you very much. So there you go. Little Carl made the trip. And maybe if we take this thing on the road, which we're planning on doing, maybe this year.
She's going to be
touring around with us. She's our official TNT mascot. She can sell the merch. She can do whatever she damn well pleases. She's got a free pass with TNT Radio. Listen, we're up to time now. We'd love to be broadcasting for a little bit longer, the three of us, but we've got a split. I have a plane to catch. Dee Dee's got a train to catch. Natalie's got a drive. James Freeman is incoming. Pin back your ears. This is TNT Radio. Don't go away.